Thanks for listening to The Kick-Ass Life with David Wood. Stay connected on Facebook, / The Kick-Ass Life, on Twitter, at The Kick-Ass Life, and of course, at thekickasslife.com.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Jeffries, author of The 7 Steps to Sanity, and you're listening to David Wood on the 600-second Kick-Ass Life Show.
Want to make your life better?
This is the Kick-Ass Life Podcast with David Wood.
That it is, and it's Saturday, which means it's a Kick-Ass Life, 600-second Kick-Ass Life show, whatever I'm talking about. I have no idea. But it's designed to put a little smile on your face, a little spring into your step, and allow me to give you a little push in the rump. That's right, a little boot in the body, or as I like to kick it, a little kick in the arse. Well, you know, we always start with fun facts. Do you realize a giraffe licks its own ears with a 21-inch tongue? Oh la la! And the strongest muscle in the human body is actually the tongue. Do you see a team? I think there's a little team going on here. Do you realize that humans and dolphins are the only mammals to have sex for pleasure? Well, it's not, I suppose, animals, they say. They don't say mammals, but animals. How do they know that? I mean, do you watch a monkey and say, oh no, I don't think he enjoyed that at all. And do you realize that pigs orgasm? I know this is a little sexual. I do apologize. I know some of you are not that way inclined, but get over yourself. You know, pigs orgasm, they last for 30 minutes. I mean, come on. They don't look very pretty and they don't smell good, but, you know, they know a little bit about orgasms, apparently. And Coca-Cola would be green if color was not added to it. Yes, that's right. Coca-Cola would be green. And, you know, we've been doing some good things here. We've been thinking about changing it up a little bit and having an ask. Oh, it's such a funny play on words, like ask. Oh, I'm so clever. I know, you think I'm a twit. I do too. Anyway, you know, Ask Dave, where you can ask questions on Facebook, and I'll sit and answer them, you know. And we had quite a few this week, because people are getting into it. And I thought, you know what, I don't normally play a song on a 600-second show, but I think this is very pertinent. Here we go. And you can change the word man for a woman, or a man and a woman, or whatever you want to say. Here we go. Guess what I did? I pushed the wrong button. You know, that wasn't the song I was going to start with. I had this idea that really you could change the word from man or woman on this song. Try this one. A broken bottle top and a one man soul. They follow each other on the wind, you know. Right. You know, that's it. This song is so good in so many ways. And if you didn't see the movie Michael Jackson, the one he made sort of just as he died, or as they were making the documentary, it's very, very, very inspiring. But yeah, gotta look inside first. You know, Gandhi says, be the change you want to see in the world. And that's so true. You know, and what I realize is I burn up 4 minutes of my 10. So I'm going to go longer because there are so many questions. But, you know, I played the wrong song. I'm feeling a bit goofy. Here we are in Regina, Saskatchewan. I mean, who knew? Saskatchewan. Here I am in Regina, Saskatchewan. It is freaking cold here. You know, next door we got Winnipeg, but I love Canada and I love Saskatchewan. And you know what? I actually did my night license for my flying when I was in this province. And I remember flying at night and looking at the Aurora Borealis. That's right. I can't remember the real name of it. What is it called? That beautiful name, Aurora Borealis. And just stunning. When you're flying at night and you fly under a hood, when you're learning how to fly, it means that you can't look out of the windshield. You just have to fly by instruments.
And then suddenly they pull the hood off and you look up and there's the greens and blues and purples and turquoise and all these beautiful colors dancing across the sky. And the northern lights were just sparkly. Anyway, should we get on? That's 5 minutes gone now. Oh, my goodness me. All right, here we go. First question from Felipe. Felipe, I know that you you asked me this privately, and I'm only using your first name. He says, at the beginning of a personal growth enlightenment journey, how do you fight the urge to point out every time people around you are being negative? You know, that's such a good question. I think it's such a brilliant question, because one of the things I tell everyone who comes to my programs is, you know, that whole righteous bit, you know, as you start to grow, suddenly you really do notice everyone and you kind of think you want them to change and you think pointing it out in some way is going to help at all, which it doesn't, of course, at all, not even a little bit. And so, but there's really an important part why you notice. I think, and I want to share why you notice. There's a part of the brain called the RAS, the reticular activating system. And think of it as a security guard, like the, you know, the president's men with the dark glasses and dark suits. And whatever you think about consistently is what the RAS will point out to you. And that's why one person can be seeing a multi-million-dollar opportunity right in front of them and the other one can't even see it. And, you know, there was that beautiful study I've talked about in previous shows in the USA Today where they ran identical ads, same job. One was for $18,000 a year, one was for $120,000, you know, and the, I mean, more than 80% of the people went for the $18,000 a year because they couldn't see the other one. So your RAS is programmed about around the way you think. So typically, if you're noticing negative things, there's two things to think about. One is it's because that's what you're conditioned to see. And to reprogram ourselves is really, really important. So there's two answers to the question, Felipe. One is to realize that, you know, you're going to notice more and more of negativity because that's sometimes a conditioning of how we are. We're kind of negative thinking. So our brain's going to point out all the negative crap that people are doing, all the crappy parts. And often it's because we're hard on ourselves. It's because we see that in ourselves, so we see it in other people. And that's why I say I don't really have any judgment bones inside of me. How can I judge anyone? I've made every mistake under the sun, right? So anyway, but that's one part. The second part is that, you know, when you start becoming righteous, you know, you start to think that because you're growing, and that you should point it out to other people. And that's the quickest way to push people away. They are not going to be engaged by that at all. The best way, if you want someone to change, and especially those of you that are married to somebody who's a slug bucket, you know, and you're on your growth journey, and all you want to do is point out what they could be doing or should be doing, and don't should all over yourself and don't should all over other people. And the best way to do it is just live a better life. Just become more enlightened, become brighter. And two things are going to happen. You're going to bring the best out in them. And once you start communicating with the best part of them, you're going to bring the best part out. Well, the second part is you're going to repel them. They're actually going to not going to like being around you. And you may end up with an elegant separation or a divine divorce, or you may end up being not friends anymore. But something's going to happen. They're either going to come follow you because of the way you're living and acting, and they just see something new they want. All right, that's what the show's about. I mean, I'm not forcing you to listen. There's something you're hearing that you love, so you keep listening, right? Some people don't like it, and they don't listen anymore, right? And that's what's going to happen, right? So, Felipe, I hope that answers it. And then, Oana Mesesan. Sorry, I don't want to mess up your name. She said, hey, David, we all know you proposed to Jan on top of Kilimanjaro. Would you like to share your love story and how did you guys meet? Well, it was really funny. My ex-girlfriend invited Jan to a party we were having at our house. And so my ex-girlfriend was hosting the party at our house after we separated. And she invited Jan. And I kind of knew immediately. I just walked up and we sort of met in my kitchen. And then we had this kind of very secretive affair for a year where we weren't going to be partners. We weren't going to be, you know, she wanted to have kids. I knew I didn't. But we just really liked each other. So we had this really wonderful, you know, very, very exploratory, very incredible, beautiful, romantic, erotic, wonderful year of our lives where there was no, you know, no commitment and we were going to separate. And we ended up separating on New Year's Eve. And we had the most gorgeous night. And people were buying us drinks because they said they saw that we were the most in love people they'd ever seen. And we were just like that. We had this incredible time. And we separated because she wanted to have kids. And it was about 2 or 3 months later, we got back together. And there you go. And then when I proposed, I was at the very top of Kilimanjaro, 19,370 feet. And it just came to me, you know, I didn't have a ring. I asked my friends to form. I said, in this circle, in this ring of love, and I asked people to circle around the summit of Kilimanjaro. And we just like, we're best friends and we hang out and laugh all the time and we just have a great time together. We just, we just laugh a lot. And she dreams a lot. I dream a lot. And she compliments me. Now she comes to, and she trains at my program. So, and that's a beautiful thing, you know, when you can sort of grow together and there's a mutual understanding of a journey. And she totally supports the work I do right now. You know, I mean, it's when you're recording three times a week and, you know, sometimes it gets in the way, you know, and there's other things you may want to do, and I don't, because this is my commitment, right? And she's 100% behind that. So we just went past the 10-minute mark, so I'm going to see if I can get two more questions in here. Patrick Whedon. Hi, David. If you had to choose one thing that would be the single most important step towards becoming successful, what would that one thing be? You know, I think environment, if I had to think of one thing, is to, and that's why I love, I keep saying to people, if you don't have a vehicle, you know, email me. Let me help you find a vehicle that has the critical piece for me, the environment, you know, a culture, a community of change where people are like-minded. And so that for me has been critical in success, is just hanging around people because they, you know, they talk differently. I mean, like even Wednesday night, you know, hanging out with my mates, you know, we always end up talking about great things, you know, and it just brings out the best when you're hanging around people who dream big and have big dreams, you know. So I think, yeah, environment is stronger than willpower, and environment plays a critical role. So, yeah, I'd say that. And then Michelle Edis, and she just interviewed me. You'll hear her show from Aussie, Little Michelle. I know who that is. She says, "Hey, David, another question for you. How did you meet Jack Canfield and become such great friends? Have an awesome day." Here we are. We're at 12 minutes. Oh, my God, Michelle, I don't know. You should have asked me that in person. You know, I set a goal. I mean, I met Jack through my work, obviously, but I didn't become friends. I made an intentional decision to become friends with Jack. And it was just like magical. It was like within, once I decided we were going to become friends, it's like it just seemed to happen very, very quickly. But of course, I had to be in the same sphere. So, you know, I was invited to go and help him out. And I did. And then I was invited to his house for dinner that night. So I canceled my flight and I helped Inga cook dinner. And we laughed and joked all night long. And I just treated their home as it was like I'd been there my whole life. And I just walked in, started chopping vegetables and pouring wine, and I just acted like it was my house. And I think it was refreshing, you know, for anyone who's not used to someone like me walking in their home. And I always say one of the greatest compliments you can do is treat my home like your own. Walk in, cook me breakfast, right? So, you know, hopefully that answers that, Michelle, and great job on the interview this week. Lee Martinuzzi. David, I have recently started a new career in real estate. However, as part of the probationary period, I was to meet certain targets, blah, blah, blah. And he goes on, I mean, you can read it on Facebook, and he goes on, I want to sort of cut to the chase because it's a really, really long question. You know, he says it's a hard question to answer, but I'm sure you can shed some light on this topic of failure and starting again. Looking forward to listening. And his big question was, you know, he quit when he realized it was getting tough. And I think, Lee, one of the things, you know, even though you're kind of in this quandary between shall I follow real estate as my path or shall I quit because the targets are too high, you know, and the truth is this, if it wasn't for the last minute in my life, nothing would ever get done. And I know that one of the things that I've learned over and over and over again is if you would have busted your ass to that deadline and if you would have pulled out all the stops and gone for it, and you build momentum when you have targets, you know, you're going to get no's. For me, especially in sales, you know, you're constantly filling the well, you're constantly filling up. So there's momentum starts to build, and follow up is a key piece. I know this isn't answering the deeper part of your question, which is, you know, about failure and starting again. I don't see it as failure. You're out there learning. Every master was once a disaster. So here you are doing something that you're new at. Of course, you're not going to be good. So you're going to be crappy at it. So what the question is, whether you're willing to be crappy long enough to get good. And that's the thing. And kind enough to yourself where you're not going to beat the shit out of yourself. Because the truth is, you're going to keep doing it. And it doesn't matter what you start. You're going to look in the mirror and you're going to say, I'm not good enough. So it's going to come down to a self-worth issue at some point. And so, Lee, what I urge you to do is be kinder to yourself. Treat you like you treat your son or your grandson or a best friend or a little kid. You're going to cheer them on, you know, when they're messy, when they're learning how to dribble the ball. You're not going to say, hey, listen, you're crap. You know, there's only a minute left of the game. You should quit. You know, there's no way you're going to beat the other team. You're going to say, hey, stay out there. Have fun. Just enjoy it. Enjoy the process. And if you decide real estate is your thing, and I imagine if real estate's your thing, it's about the people, because real estate is never about the houses. It's all about the interactions. I buy a lot of real estate, and there's some really good realtors, and there's some really crappy ones. I got to be honest with you. If you're a crappy one, start being good. You know, treat people like people. And it doesn't matter what profession we have. Just if you become a great servant of people and a kind human being that sees the greatness in people and really, really go out of your way to do things over and above and beyond, you will be a great realtor, Lee, but you'll be a great humanitarian. So you'll be able to choose whatever you want. And sometimes you've got to get into something to decide if you love it. So maybe you're going to go down that path and there's no failure in the path. But once you realize maybe it's not your thing, maybe you decide to do something else. But as you're in the thing, a new door will open. If you're in the thing and you're being 100% and you're sparkling and you're giving it your all and you're showing up and you're present with people, another door is going to open right in front of you. And they're always there. They're always there. But if you're negative and you're beating your crap out of yourself and you're feeling like, you know, things aren't working, you're not working, you're a loser, all that kind of shit, no one is going to open a door for you. No doors are going to open. So it feels like there's nothing else. Well, it's right there. Those doors are completely... Imagine you're in this invisible hallway and around you is like a million doors. And just if you're in that hallway with nothing going on, it's dark, there's no food, there's no water, imagine that you can find the very, very best of you. A door's going to open because someone's going to go, I like that guy. You know, you're awesome. You know, you should be doing this. And you just got to attract to you exactly the question about Jack Canfield. You got to attract to you the things that you love and that you want. In saying that, I have gone so long, this is like a 20-minute show. So what I got to do is I got to shut up. And, keep sending questions to Ask Dave if you like this format. And maybe I'll just keep it down to 2 so I don't keep you for 20 minutes. But you know what? I just thought, whatever. I'll answer the questions. What happens if I lose them? You know, if Oana or Patrick or and all these people that ask questions, Michelle and Lee, thank you so much. You know, you all ask questions. And, of course, Felipe, hopefully I've been give you my little spin on it. Doesn't make it right, doesn't make it wrong, you know, it just is my thoughts. You know, if it works for you, do it. If it doesn't, don't do it, do something else, you know. And I am not an expert. I'm just like a guy that loves to live life. And, you know, I do it pretty well. And I'm pretty freaking happy. Jen said that to me today. She said, are you always this happy? Because I was goofing off and singing in the car. Anyway, I gotta shut up. I gotta get out of here. But you know what? There's a little bit of music coming. And I'm kind of like watching it because I know in a moment it's going to say, that was kick-ass. That's my son Calvin, by the way. Anyway, I'll leave it up to him now. See you on the other side.
That was kick-ass.